Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Still cold, but it's a game day, and we are inside KeyBank. I feel like I needed to apologize because last week I thought, they're freezing, actually. You're warm, so I don't know. Anyway, for the radio audience, this is really interesting, the fact that you now know my hands.
Chemistry right there. A cold hand on a warm body has a reverse effect. I felt like your hand was really warm.
Last week, I was surprised you were still wearing your winter hat, indoors. I thought it was starting to warm up. But I was mistaken, so add it to the list of things I've been wrong about.
It's beautiful. I love this day. Like today, it's beautiful. When you walk on the snow, there's a crisp in the snow. Mm. I love that. Like, it's not like a slushy snow. It's not a wet snow. It's a crisp snow.
It would be hard to be slushy after 65-mile-an-hour winds.
That was I woke up this morning with Plowmaster 43 having to get on the road for an hour.
Which way was your plow facing?
Well, it was facing against the wind so I could keep the car on the truck on the line. But, yeah, I woke up and I was like, what happened to my snowbank? It was 4.5-5 feet tall. Now it's 3 feet tall, and most of the snow is in my driveway. What's going on here?
I know this. The Sabres are home. They've got the Bruins tonight. Yuri Kulik's coming up on the show, and
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I am as well. But from a roster standpoint, we're talking about a Sabres team that is still trying to find rhythm, in the words of Lindy Ruff this morning. Obviously, results of greater significance. They've dropped two in a row and five of the last seven. They're up against a Boston team that's 5-1-1 in their last seven. But yesterday, Nick Aubé-Kubel was placed on waivers. We'll find out at 2 o'clock. His fate, so to speak. The fact that we've seen Tyson Kozak up an awful lot lately. Technically, he is not recalled at this point. But Yuri has earned his place to this point. Yep. That's why there's nothing but positives around him and his play. But I do wonder whether we could see someone other than Kozak up from Rochester, i.e. Isaac Rosén, who continues to lead the team in points. He's top 20 in AHL scoring. He's expected to go to the All-Star Classic in Coachella Valley this weekend after they play Friday and Saturday night. And by the way, congratulations to Brett Murray, because Brett's just been added as a replacement. He should have been there all along, in my opinion, based on how well he's playing. Murray and Rosén, by the way.
I feel like your 2,000 emails to the AHL selecting committee has worked.
No, they were ranting text messages to our internal group only.
I shared those with
you?
The AHL.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Did you
scrub out the name?
Yeah. And I scrub out also some of the language.
So Rosén and Murray have 18 goals apiece. They're tied for 7th in AHL goal scoring. Obviously, Levi and Rosén were headed to the Classic. Brett's going to go now for the first time, so good for him. But all that being said, everything I've just unloaded here, like what is next for this Sabres roster in wake of Aubé-Kubel on waivers, what we've seen from Kozak, and what you still might want to see from guys who are playing with the Amherst?
Okay, so number one, like I get that it looks like the Sabres are probably going to make a couple of transactions later today. They're waiting on seeing what happens with Aubé-Kubel, but if he clears, most likely will be headed down to Rochester and somebody will be coming up. So that's number one. I think Tyson Kozak played well with the Sabres, did enough good. I mean, he was playing on the second line when Zucker was sick, right? So you're saying, hey, this is a guy that was given an opportunity, and I think Lindy Ruff liked the way that Tyson Kozak was playing, so it makes sense for me to say, okay, Aubé-Kubel is going to clear. Now you call up a guy like Kozak, and you put him in your group of 12. I don't think he can find a spot in the top nine. I think the top nine is pretty much set with, you know, you've got Paterka, Kulik, Thompson. You've got Zucker with Cousins and Tuck. And then you have Benson with McLeod and Quinn. So that's your top nine. I think the top nine is set. But you always have movement in games, players that move, get moved up, move down, whatnot. I think a player like Tyson Kozak could slide into the middle, could slide in on the wing. There's a few different things that could happen here. So, yeah, when, you know, Obi Kubel clears most likely at 2 p.m., then after that you can start making your roster transactions, because the Sabres are at 23 players right now. If they had been at 22, you don't have to wait for Obi Kubel to clear waivers, but they're at 23. That's the max. So they have to wait for that to happen before they can do anything else.
No comment on Roseanne?
So Roseanne, for me, it's a different story. I think if Zach Roseanne comes up, you have to find, just like Yuri Kulik, a spot in the top nine, maybe even the top six, to say, hey, can we give him the opportunity to play to his strength? I don't think that saying, hey, let's call up Zach Roseanne and have him on the fourth line playing alongside Beck Malenstein and either Krebs and Lafferty, or, you know, you move things around. I don't really see that as a fit for Zach Roseanne. Mm-hmm. And you want to give him a chance to come up and say, hey, it's a reward. It's not a come up to the NHL, but you're going to play 10 minutes in a very unlikely role for you. So that's why I don't think Roseanne is for now. I think Roseanne could be down the road, because at some point the Sabres are going to use some of their call-ups for players like Roseanne, maybe even Elenius, guys that can come up and get a little taste of it and see what they've got at this level.
I don't think they would bring up Elenius this year, do you?
Probably before couple of games, a handful
really?
Of games, get him on in there. Like, I just think of myself as a youngster, mm-hmm. and saying, I'm having a good year. I was drafted in the first round. Like, okay, what's the danger in saying, hey, let's get you up here for a week. Start practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, play Thursday, practice Friday, go on the road, play on Saturday, come back Sunday, and then go back to Rochester. 1 week, mm-hmm. right? Number one, well, it's a nice payday. Number two, it's the experience, being with the guys, getting more familiar with the rest of the group. I think there's a lot of good there. But teams that are in different positions don't want to do it. Like, if you're in a playoff spot, chasing a playoff spot, whatever, you may not want to do this because it's not the priority. Let's see where the Sabres are in a month from now, in the month of late February, early March, what kind of opportunities you can give to some of those players.
Well, if I gave you the dis or dat, Östlund or Helenius?
Probably Östlund first and Helenius second, but they would both get that opportunity. Okay. I think you reward them. And then you also say, hey, this is a fun little reward, but go down to Rochester and then go win a championship. Like, that's what the number one goal was. I still remember getting sent down my second year. I had a good camp. I was coming off a strong second half in Rochester, and the goal was, look, we want you to go to Rochester. We want you to dominate. We want you to go to the playoffs, go to the as far as you can. Now, I got called up that year. I got my first NHL win that year. It was a great reward, but I still knew my goal was what was set at the beginning of the year, go to Rochester and be a dominating goaltender in the AHL. Because I played well, I got called up for a couple of games, and luckily, I got my first win. Everything worked out. But if I think of 98-99, I think of my year in Rochester and going to the playoffs and going to the Calder Cup final. I think that's got to be the same thing for those guys. Maybe they get called up, but, you know, you look at the players that have moved around now. Thompson's on the wing. Okay, is he always going to be on the wing? Is he back to center at some point? Yuri Kulik's playing top-line center. Benson and Quinn seem to, you know, try to find their ways into the lineup. Like, there's a lot of experimentation you need to continue to do to see where you're going.
Happy 25th anniversary, Marty, on your 1-0 shutout of Ottawa. That was a 21-save effort. And
that boosted my save percentage.
James Patrick had the only goal in that
no
one.
No way.
So
cheap with the 1-0 goal.
I'm sure that Spartacat didn't enjoy that day. And
he did not wear a Sabres jersey.
And we're all feeling for him, just like
Thomas Chabot.
Just like Thomas Chabot is feeling for him.
People are saying, who's Spartacat? Spartacat is the Ottawa Senators mascot. Now, the Ottawa Senators yesterday, I believe, announced that they will have training camp in Quebec City next year and play a preseason game there. So the mascot came out with a jersey that had half the Ottawa Senators on the left side and the Quebec Nordiques on the right side. Well, the fan base went crazy in Ottawa because there's not a lot of good press right now when it comes to the new building in Ottawa.
Well, they're and in their defense, meaning the new ownership group, the Andlauer group, there hasn't been a lot of good press about a potential new arena in Ottawa for 15 years.
Well, exactly.
So this is piling on.
I'm not saying this is the Andlauer group. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to absolve him.
Yes.
From not getting to the finish line, because nobody else could get to the finish line either. That's the problem.
The Melnicks could not get it, and they've been trying for 15 years, as you pointed out. So anyway, so the fan base went crazy because now the rumors of maybe Ottawa could move to Quebec City and all of it, it's just gone rampant. So much so that Michael Andlauer, the owner of the Ottawa Senators, came out and says, no. We're staying in Ottawa. With a new rink or without a new rink, we're staying in Ottawa. He had to really get to the front of that right away. But Thomas Chabot today, in a quote, says, I feel bad for Spartacat today. He's feeling bad for the mascot. It's like if we said, like, Sabretooth. I don't know. Sabretooth fell on the ice after the game. He was out there. He fell. I feel bad for Sabretooth. He's probably going to wake up with a headache. Like, that's just – it's a funny way to just feel bad for a mascot.
It's important, though.
It's important to care. It's important to care.
And we would care to see all young, potential, future NHL stars down here in the building on February the 2nd. It is fast approaching, and we want you to be here when the Sabres take on the Devils. First 5,000 kids in attendance will take home a Sabres water bottle. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. With Yuri Kulik as the Sabres and Bruins clash tonight, how you doing? The goals have been coming, and how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling more comfortable on the ice, too. I scored a couple, so that's why I got pretty good confidence right now. So I think it still can be better, but we'll see how it's going.
I was in the equipment room about 2 weeks ago, and you and Jason Zucker were having a fun time because you wanted new sticks, and Zucker says you only get new sticks when you play on my line. But now that you scored a few goals, are you getting the new sticks? Is Willie taking care of you?
What Zuck said, it's I need at least 200 games in NHL to talk to Willie, so... Yeah,
so that's what Zook said. You don't get to talk to the equipment guys until you play 200 games. Or you're on his line. If you're on his line, then you're good.
Yeah.
Did you change equipment at all, sticks at all, along the way this season to get maybe even more comfortable and confident?
No. It's still the same.
Yeah.
What's your flex?
75, but... I cut a lot, so probably like 80.
Okay, so when you cut it, it makes it a little stiffer, right?
Yeah. So it's like 80, and my curve is classic P28.
Oh, classic P28. So if you're out there and you want to get the same stick that Yuri Kulik's shooting with, a 75 flex, cut a little bit with a P28, they're going to score tons of goals. But that one timer the other day, you get it, and it comes off the stick in a heartbeat. Is this what we should expect from your shot? Because a lot of people have seen it in Rochester, but in Buffalo, you know, you're just getting going. Is that a Yuri Kulik like trademark shot?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my best shot. But I don't think that was a great shot on the game, but it was going in. So it's pretty hard to score in this league from the 1T, so I have to keep working on that shot, and
More power play time soon?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I was going to go into Lindy Ruff's press conference, but the door was locked. They wouldn't let me in,
no.
So he locked the door. I was going to say, hey, can you replay top power play? But I get it. Like, you want two power play units that can go out there. The power play was actually pretty good against the Oilers after not so good against the Flames. What was the mindset that was the difference that, 12 power play shots and more chances?
Yeah, I mean, that was the key, probably. Shots doing chaos. So, we just tried to shoot more. Especially me, I shot everything. So, yeah.
You weren't going to come back to the bench and have the coach come to you and say, Yuri, got to shoot this. No. I'm shooting everything.
Yeah. I was shooting everything. I think I had like 4 shots in the one power play. So.
Yeah.
You keep in touch with some of your most recent teammates in Rochester. I'm just curious whether you got some good messaging after the brawl they had on Saturday night in Hartford.
Yeah, Rosie just sent me the video of the fight. So, yeah, it was crazy. I wish I was there. not fighting, but I wish I was on the bench. Yeah.
Well, one thing that's interesting, because you're a lot bigger than people think you are. Like, you're strong. Ever gotten into a fight or any, like, drop in the gloves, either in Roch or before that?
No, I never dropped the gloves yet, so...
You're going to try to stay away from that?
No, I mean, I'm not scared. I just playing my best if I'm not frustrating. So
yeah, but I think you'd be a sneaky good, like strong, like somebody would come to you and not expect anything, and then you'd get in there and
you could let
shake
him test.
Up a little bit.
We could test this right now on you if you want.
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
HR, where's HR? I need to talk to Duffer wants me hurt.
No, in all seriousness, how's life been this year up in Buffalo? Just as you get acclimated to life in the NHL.
I mean, I'm living my dream right now, so life is good. And, yeah, just enjoying every single day here and especially with this group of guys. It's a really great group, and we had a lot of fun, so, yeah.
Was it nice to have a little bit of a Christmas break? I know it's not a lot of days, but the last few years you've been at the World Juniors, and then you come back to play in Rochester. It's like everything is rush. Was it nice for you to have 3 days of just saying, oh, I can chill for a little bit?
Yeah, it was fun. My brother came in the city, so... But then I just did a little bit mistake of our flight. So, yeah, we should fly to Minnesota to see our buddy Lauko for Christmas. But I booked the flight on 24 February, not...
December?
Not December, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was great Christmas. We spent the day in Toronto and...
Oh, no. Oh, well, I mean, it happens. Yeah. I've done it before, too. So
it happens a lot, actually.
Duffer travels a lot, so he'd be the expert.
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, you made the most of it, though. So
12
that's awesome.
And 2. It's close. Like, you know, you put 12, 24, and all of a sudden the one disappeared, and it's 2:24.
Yeah, but the worst thing was that we were driving to Toronto for, I don't know, 2 hours, hour and a half. Then we spent an hour on the... at the airport, and then they told me I...
Oh, booked around.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hopefully you got a refund.
No.
No, they're like, no, you're not getting a refund.
No.
Was it just your flight, or did you book for your buddy, too?
For my brother.
For your brother?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well.
So what did you do in Toronto?
I don't know.
Did you guys come right back?
No, we stay in Toronto for the day, and we just went for a nice dinner, but everything was full booked, so it was kind of hard.
Yeah.
So.
Well, life on the road.
That is, a couple of years back, last year, Mittelstadt found himself in Columbus waiting for the team after the storm, and he was trying to get back here, and
the game got
canceled, so he was in Columbus by himself. Right after Christmas. So I'm telling you, like, things like that happen. So it's okay.
All right.
Rookie mistake.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Continued success the rest of the year. Good storyteller. That one came out of nowhere. And we'll have more stories this week. Most of them, presumably, pertaining to Rob Ray, because it's his night coming up on Friday. Yes, Nashville is in, but we want you in the building early. Doors are open at 5. Ceremony to induct Razor into the Sabres Hall of Fame begins at 6:05. We have adorned the set with the lovely pin collection that the first 10,000 in attendance will receive. So all signs pointing towards a big night for Razor on Friday.
Yeah, so the pins are awesome. There's the three pins. One is a headset in blue and gold saying Razor in it. Mm-hmm. One is the 32 black Goathead jerseys with Ray. And then just one that to commemorate the Hall of Fame induction with the dates. So those are the three pins. They're fantastic.
Thank you for hand modeling. Well done, as per usual.
Well, our crew on MSG, they've got the pictures,
the
and they're doing a great job.
Come on. You're supposed to play it up as if it was live, Marty.
Well, it is live, but it's live to tape.
Not that portion.
Live to tape.
All right, so you're expecting Lukanen tonight?
Yeah, I was watching Morning Skate today. He was sitting on the bench. Lukanen's a funny cat. He, after the morning
says
skate,
says a former goaltender.
A former goalie,
who,
but it was a funny cat. Mm. A strange cat, I should say. But he likes to, after the morning skate, he likes to sit on the bench and just converse with the trainers, talk to the players, hang out there. It's almost like he doesn't want to go to the locker room and get out of his gear yet, but he also doesn't want to continue practice, right? So Reimer was at the far end, the Zamboni end, taking breakaways and shots and whatnot, and Lukanen was just sitting on the bench with Bryson. Actually, Bryson went on the ice again for a couple of other twirls and then came back, and instead of retreating to the locker room, he goes, I'm just going to hang out with Upi here and just chit-chat. So, that's their routine, right? That's the routine in the morning. So I would expect Lukanen to go and try to get this four-game homestand started the right way. There's only five games between now and the Four Nations face-off. Four of them are at home. So you've got an opportunity here to try to say, hey, let's build on something. You go 5-0, you go 4-1 before the Four Nations face-off. And then after that, you say, okay, what is February, March looking like, and what is the plan for the Sabres?
So Swayman at the other end of Buffalo did not see Swayman the first go-around. Corpusalo got the win. When they met in Boston right before Christmas, it was a very low event, low shot game. 19 saves on 20 shots for Corpusalo in a 3-1 win. Reimer had 16 saves on 18 shots, so it'll be the first go-around for Lukanen against Swayman this year. You can probably guess that the numbers favor Jeremy. He's 7-0-1 lifetime against Buffalo. Yeah. The Bruins have won six straight in this building.
Yeah, well, if you go back to that game on December 21st, like, James Reimer, I remember getting on the plane after, and he was like both goals he thought should have been maybe waved off. Like, the one was on a breakaway save, and then the puck was underneath his pad, and it got jammed in at the last second. Then Morgan Geeky got the game-winning goal after there was a collision at the top of the crease, but the Boston Bruins player was pushed in by Matthias Samuelsson, so they counted the goal after a challenge by the Buffalo Sabres. It just was one of those situations. Geeky, who had the game-winning goal that day, now is playing top line with Zacha and David Pastrnak, and he's on fire. Mm-hmm. He had seven goals on December 21st. He has 15 now. A month later, he's added eight goals. What does he have? He has
15 on the air.
Yeah, 50, he has six goals in his last seven games. It's been unbelievable. And why? Well, because David Pastrnak is on fire as well. The guy's got 17 points in his last seven games. Like, it's been like over 2 points a game on average. He's got six multi-point game in the last seven. Like, everything he touches is going towards the net, going in. It's been, and Geeky is just a passenger on the Pastrnak train right now.
Yeah, it's looking like it should be a career year for Morgan. He had nice numbers last year with Boston. Slow start this year, but really hot now. And when the calendar turned to 2025, not that he wasn't warm already, but Pastrnak is leading the league in goals with 11 in his last 11 games and 22 points in 12 since the calendar turned. So he leads in goals and points across the league. And, you know, that's – he – well, you can't say single-handedly based on what you just said. I think they've had better-than-expected goaltending from Corpusalo this year from a win-loss standpoint. But, Marty, it is – and I know Buffalo's situation is really tough after dropping five of the last seven. The Bruins are not good offensively.
Nope.
They're nowhere near where they were defensively. They have the 31st power play. They have a bad penalty kill at 25th. And they are only plus two at 5-on-5. They have no redeeming team stats, yet they are still in the playoff
spot. They're still plus five, like on top of the NHL 500. So they're playing, you know, at a plus five rate right now.
And they've done it almost all year without their, arguably their 1-to-1A defenseman in Lindholm.
Lindholm and McAvoy.
Yeah, but McAvoy's only missed the last six.
Yep.
He's missed the last six. They're 5-1-1 in the last seven. Yeah. So don't ever tell me about injuries. I don't want to hear them. They've been at critical times without top pair. Like Lindholm has missed 34 games this year, and now McAvoy's missed the last six. It hasn't affected them. How are they still the playoff mix?
Right now it's about their system and their team and limited playing low event games. And I was surprised. There's a couple of games of late here where they go down 1 or 2-0. I'm thinking this is over. If the Bruins don't take a lead, mm-hmm. they don't come back in games. But they've had that opportunity because Pasternak has now flipped the switch. Like, it was a slow start with Pasta at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. He's flipped the switch. So now the Boston Bruins have added that a little bit. You talk about Jeremy Swayman. The fact that, I mean, if you look at his numbers, 16-16-4 and an .898 save percentage. So, yeah, it's just very average for a guy that signed that big contract, right, that was holding out. His numbers were just terrible in his first 10, 12 games. The fact that he's back up to .898 and even in the win-loss record is an achievement because he was way behind early, and he's starting to get himself going the right direction. You're right. This is a team that's minus 20 in goal differential. The only team that's in the playoff spot that's in a minus goal differential situation right now. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be a playoff team.
Yeah.
But what they've done is they've won tight games.
Right.
And when they lose, well, it doesn't matter if you lose 6-2. As long as you're able to win 2-1.
When you say that, what does that remind you of? Last year's Washington Capitals.
Yes, exactly.
So
they were minus 31 last year.
12 times the Bruins have lost a game that's been decided by three or more.
Yeah.
I didn't look it up. I would bet that in the last 3 years, we have not seen the Bruins lose 12 games in total over 3 years by three or more. It's just, it was never a thing. And no. Washington lost, I want to say, 24 or 26 times last year by three goals or more.
Yeah.
Twice this year. That's why I'm saying it with confidence that there's no way the Bruins would be on the wrong side of it that many times in previous years. It's been a challenge for them this year, but just like Washington, they punt the bad games out of their system
they
real quick,
them all right.
And they get right back into being able to win narrow games, which is, I have to assume this is what we're shaping up for tonight, based on what we saw in the first meeting between these two, and unless, you know.
Scoring first, right? 16-5-3 are the Bruins. Scoring first is pretty important for them. Leading after one, 11-2-2. They're 1-12-2 when trailing after one. Mm-hmm. They've only had one win in 15 games when trailing after one. They're not a team that comes back.
Weren't they trailing against Buffalo?
Was it a goal in the first or a goal in the second? Yeah. Anyway, maybe that's the only one. But I'm just saying, like, they're not a team that comes back. They're not a team that, if you can get on them, get a couple early goals, that usually work. Now, like I said, it's changed a little bit now because Pasternak is hot and that top line with Geeky is working. But Brad Marchand's got one assist in three games. That second line with Poitras has 0 points in three games. Charlie Cole has one assist in three games. It's not like they're getting depth scoring. It's the top line that's producing.
Yeah. Marchand's numbers are still pretty good, though. 17 goals, 38 points. The Bruins did have the lead early against Buffalo. Charlie Coyle should have remembered that because he always scores.
Yeah, that was on that breakaway, right, where he jammed the leg in. Yeah.
All that being said, there is an awful lot to look at tonight in Boston and Buffalo and a ton from around the NHL. So we are going to do that when we come back. A reminder that it is Rob Ray's big night this Friday, and we can offer up two tickets to the game on Friday, a Rob Ray jersey, plus an autographed poster and pin set. How do you get in on this? You go to Sabres.com/Ray to enter. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We'll be right back. Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Busy week here at KeyBank Center on the heels of Disney on Ice. Four games in the next 8 days and a Bandits game here Saturday night in rematch of the championship as Albany comes in and the Bandits look to maintain their perfection. But for the Sabres, it's Boston tonight, Nashville here on Friday as part of Razors Night, New Jersey on Sunday, and then the Jackets on a week from tonight. So tonight, it's again, we're expecting Luukkonen and Swayman as the goaltending matchup, and there'll be some finalizations to the Sabres in-game and actual 23-man roster as this day moves forward. Nick Obey-Cabell was placed on waivers yesterday, so that will finalize itself at 2 p.m. today, and we'll see what in the way of other changes Buffalo makes. Kozak would be a logical recall, but you could also look at Roseanne potentially from Rochester.
I might have to call the league on this because years and years and years and years and years, it was always Noon. Noon was the waiver claims. Noon was the waiver, the updates and all of that. And our show's at Noon. Be great to start the show knowing what's going on around the league. We'll give updates, right? But then we're not on at 2. Mm-hmm. So I think I got to call the league and try to move it back to Noon. I know it's 9 o'clock a.m. out West Coast, so they're trying to facilitate. But 2 p.m. is pretty close to game time for the Eastern teams.
Maybe if you're doing a matinee, but otherwise it's not that close.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm in my nap. Like, I'm in my, like, you call me, you say I'm getting called up at 2:05. Like, I may say, no, I'm not ready. I haven't gotten my routine in yet.
There have been...
I'm not saying no, by the way. I'm saying yes every time. I don't care.
There have been a lot of big stories in the NHL since last we were on this show. Almost hard to believe that we're not really talking about Mikko Rantanen, but and we can, but maybe,
well, we can.
Maybe we do it for another time. Kirill Kaprizov is front and center right now as far as the latest to hit the sidelines. Going to be gone for about a month.
Yeah, minimum of 4 weeks. He's got to have surgery. He's been...
Did they say where the surgery?
Like, no, they did not say. They just said he had to get
geographically
surgery.
Geographically or anatomically, is that right?
No, we're not doing biology today, but here's the thing. He has been bothered by an injury, missed some time, came back, he's missed again. Basically, they said he needs to get a surgery. It's not season-ending. Week to week with a minimum of 4 weeks. The Four Nations face-off is coming up, so that's going to take 2 weeks out of the equation, so it's pretty good. Yeah, we have a metal detector going off
security
next to us.
Breach. Yeah.
Absolutely. Addie, I don't know what you're doing, but she's setting it off. It's okay. We'll be good.
Okay, so they try to navigate without Kaprizov. They've been obviously really uneven of late.
Gustafson's not making the trip either. I think they're going on the road. He's been bothered by a small injury as well and not played well, so it's probably going to be Marc-Andre Fleury.
They're 7 points, well, 8 ahead of Vancouver, who are in wild card 3, which doesn't exist, obviously.
First team out.
Yeah, they're in a tricky... I mean, they're only a point behind Dallas, but they've just been so uneven now for the last 20-plus games that it does make you start to wonder. And their blue line had been decimated for quite a stretch of time. So Minnesota, a team to certainly keep an eye on. Logan
yes.
Thompson.
Yes, nice contract, by the way.
Well, that's where we're going. So... what do you make of this deal for Logan?
I think it's really good for Logan. I think, look, could he have waited a little bit and UFA in the summertime and maybe you kind of get the rumor mill going and maybe you get a few more dollars? Absolutely, he could have. But it's also a kind of a gamble you take. Is the second half going to be as good? Are you going to be performing in the playoffs? What if all of a sudden Charlie Lindgren outperforms you in the last 2 weeks of the season, takes over in the playoffs, and you're sitting there? Are you getting that 6-year deal, right, at 5.8? It's a really, really solid deal for him. I think it's more than I thought he was going to get. I had him at about 4.8 to 5.2. That's where I thought Logan Thompson was going to be, but I think it's a really good deal for him, and if he performs the way that he's been performing this year – it's a great deal for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, obviously it's going to spell the end of Charlie Lindgren's time there, unless Charlie takes a lower deal moving forward to maintain the tandem that has been incredibly effective for them. All right, you sounded eager.
Wait, I just want to see something because our buddy James in AFP Analytics in Rochester, they had Logan Thompson at a 5-year deal, $6 million.
So basically got 6 times 6. So,
but what I'm saying is that Washington probably are pulling the same type of evaluation numbers, and mm-hmm. they're like, hey, at 5.85, we'll definitely do that. I thought it was a little bit more than I would have gone, but he's a quality goaltender.
You've had more time now to digest the Rantanen deal, which has him in Carolina. And it has Natchez and Jack Drury as members of the Avalanche, and they had a fortunate game in their second game with
yes.
the newcomers on Sunday against the New York Rangers. The more you digest Rantanen, what he did or didn't get offered in Colorado, the fact they are I think they're a good team, but they chose to move off of a absolute superstar mm-hmm. at this time of the year. In Rantanen, what are your thoughts days after now that this dust continues to settle?
My thoughts are this obviously is a shocker. You heard Nathan MacKinnon talked about the first game, basically saying I'm completely shocked. Wasn't expecting that. Never would I have thought that Rantanen was going to leave mm-hmm. Or that the organization was going to, you know, trade him. The only reason why Colorado did it is because they were getting a player like Marty Natchez in return. Like, teams have traded superstars in the past, trying to get a package of players in return. Like, Joe Thornton going from Boston to San Jose. In return, you got Wayne Primo, Marco Sturm, and I don't even remember
who else.
There's
a big difference there, though. All due respect to Joe.
He wasn't, like,
they hadn't won.
Yes.
Rantanen's won a cup. He's been an elite playoff performer, at just like Joe was an elite regular season performer,
yes.
but there was baggage following the Bruins because they hadn't ascended with him as the top pick. That's completely the opposite for Rantanen. He's exceeded expectations.
But that's why I'm saying you needed to get a superstar back.
But you didn't.
If you got Natchez.
You have Rantanen. Like, why would you trade him in season? Like, I get what they're trying to do. But if the numbers are as close as the numbers, and if MacKinnon comes out and says, anybody that knows me knows I don't care about being the highest paid player on a team, all that. Like,
the numbers are coming out now, and obviously people are speaking. Rantanen said, I wasn't going to take anything less than, a lot less than my value, right?
Right.
Well, what is he evaluating himself at? Mm-hmm. Some people are saying, he was evaluating himself at $14 million, mm-hmm. like Leon Draisaitl, knowing that Connor McDavid is probably going to be at 15, and guys are going to continue to go above that.
Yep.
So the word is that Colorado offered him slightly over Nathan MacKinnon, mm-hmm. which would be in the 12.6 to 12.75 range. He wasn't going to ask for the same percentage mm-hmm. of the cap as Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon was at 14.2%. You look at Artemi Panarin, the highest paid winger, was just slightly over 13%. So if you put that on a $93 million cap next year, you're getting close to $13 million. But if he wants to be above Panarin and closer to Draisaitl, you probably had to go to about $13.5 million to get Mikko Rantanen signed. And we'll see. If he signs with the Carolina Hurricanes, what is that number going to be? What is he going to be comfortable to sign? The big thing is that Rantanen was going to be moved only if Colorado was going to get a star player, which they feel like they got in Marty Natchez. So it will be and another thing that was in Saturday headlines, like they do that on Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot Friedman was talking. He said some teams right now are worried about the salary cap. Because the salary cap within 2 years will probably be over $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago when we had a lockout in 2004-05 and we came back to play, the salary cap was $38 million. Mm-hmm. So, 38 or 39?
39.
39 million, yes. So we have gone from...
The floor was 21. 21, or something like that.
Yes, yeah. Because it was a 9 plus 9 minus 9. So we went from 38 in 2005-06 to now going to be over $100 million. Some teams are saying we will not be cap teams more than now. And Colorado may be one of those teams that are saying we are going to be in the 93 to 96, 97 million, but we won't be at 102. We won't be at 103. And if Rantanen wanted 13.5 million, then that means you're probably going to be at 100 plus million, and Colorado's not comfortable with that.
Well, maybe they have more up their sleeve, so to speak, as far as getting to the deadline and adding more. The challenge for the Avalanche for every single game this year has been that they've been nowhere close to full health. And part of that was Nichushkin's suspension, which
yes.
lingered into November, and then he's not been healthy. Lehkonen hadn't been healthy. Drouin's never been healthy. Wood was injured. Landeskog has never come back. And on it goes. They have turned over, at least by my count, last time we looked last week, 9 players on their 23-man roster that weren't in the organization a year ago.
Yes.
McFarland has been that
Both
busy.
Both goalies.
Right, exactly.
And now with Natchez and Drury, that's
yes.
4.
It's
and, there's been so many added players.
So you applaud McFarland for trying to stay ahead of it. Do you think that because you have a little bit more cap space, do you think they believe that Landeskog is going to play in the regular season?
That is one thing.
Or do you think they're just going to not sit him? Do you think if he returns, he won't return until game one of the playoffs?
Well, I mean, my first thought was, they're probably freeing up some cap space because they think we have to fit Landeskog, and then Nichushkin will come back, and now we're like going to be putting ourselves in a tough space,
right?
Spot. So I think that it could be a possibility. And if by the time they get to March 7th, which is a trade deadline this year, they don't have good news on Landeskog, then you have that money to use to go. And I just think they felt this was a dead end with Mikko Rantanen. Mm-hmm. And then some people are asking, well, do you think Carolina can re-sign Mikko Rantanen to the money, to maybe $13 million? Because
yeah, they can.
The Hurricanes have not been a team that are going to spend that much money. But
that's not true. They were willing to spend it on Gensel, and he chose not to stay there.
He chose not to go, so. But like, Aho's making almost $10 million, but they're going to lose.
They have the room. The Carolina beat writers laid it out immediately after the
deal. Orlov is 7.7.
Burns is 5.
Is
the big one that's going to free up a lot of this. Plus, the cap going up and losing Burns basically gives you more than enough.
But you're not keeping Orlov at almost $8 million.
Well, I would. I mean, look at their defense corps. I think he's been good. It's
$8 million is a lot for Dmitry Orlov, okay, I just think.
He took a pretty short and fair deal to stay there. Sure, he could move on, but if you keep him around the same number, again, they've got enough guys coming off the books, plus
Freddie
the cap
Anderson's
rising,
coming off the book.
That they're going to be able to make it work for Rantanen, even if Mikko is at $14 million. That'll be their decision whether they want to go that high. So.
It will be interesting because Eric Tolsky, now in his second year as the general manager, is like really kind of added a different approach to how this gets done. We saw the Seth Jarvis contract that was like deferred money, and now this transaction, like, okay, let's see what else he's got in the bags of trick to maybe sign Rantanen to a long-term deal.
Okay, we got a break back after this on Sabres Live for maybe one more thought on the Rantanen deal. Oh, yeah, and game night. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres, Bruins tonight. We've got 6:30 pregame coverage on MSG. Final thought on the Rantanen Carolina situation.
Well, he's going to be good there.
No, I need to prompt you with a question. Who's better, Rantanen or Gensel?
Rantanen.
Who will have a bigger impact in a Carolina uniform? Rantanen? Yeah?
Rantanen. Okay. Rantanen is going to be good there. Sebastian
Gensel
Howe's
was well
buddy.
Over a point a game, by the way.
Yeah.
People forget that. So.
Yeah, but I think Carolina is going to be a really good team. Now, I'm still not sure about the goaltending, but I think Carolina is going to have Rantanen, and they'll sign him long-term, and it's going to work there. That's my final thought on that.
Are you excited for the Islanders' new look on defense with D'Angelo and Perunovic?
Look,
they have a lot of injuries, so.
They have a ton of injury. Mayfield's not there. Yeah. Listen, D'Angelo.
Pulock and Dobson.
For whatever it is, like him and Georgiev got in that fight with the Rangers years ago, and I feel like people got on D'Angelo because he's the one that got booted out. But I am now you're looking back. Georgiev's not an easy, cool cat out there. So I think there was something going on more than we don't know.
One thing to focus on / expect in tonight's Buffalo-Boston matchup.
I am looking at the power play, and Yuri probably have 6 shots alone on the power play tonight.
Well, it's a penalty kill that could be taken advantage of based on statistical and seasonal ranks for the Bees. Buffalo desperately trying to get back in the win column tonight on MSG. We'll see you then.